Welcome to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Dana Jones. I am a certified personal trainer, and I'm here to help you achieve your fitness goals without pain. In each episode, I'll share tips and strategies that will help you stay safe and pain-free while you're working out. I'll also interview experts in the field of fitness and pain management. So if you're ready to learn how to stay active and pain-free, then subscribe to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast today. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Dana Jones, and I am joined today by Grete. Right? Did I get it?
Yes. Hi. Kinda. Nice to be here.
Hello, so, you are also a fellow SERPA member, which is always a fantastic thing because I feel like we're all out there spreading good in the world. I guess, you know, who are you? What do you do? How did you run into this work?
So I've been part of the mind-body world for about 9 years now. I read Dr. Sarno's book and the whole new world opened up and never looked back. I'm now a certified therapist of pain reprocessing therapy in Germany. I actually come from a completely different field, but this is my path and I feel like it's my calling and this is the new path I'm supposed to be on. Trying to help, trying to spread the word in German. There's not a lot of material available in Germany, in German language, and this is what I'm trying to do.
Now, when I was poking in your biography, I noticed that you've run across a few people that I've mentioned, more specifically Alan Gordon. And how did you come across him? How did you, because you also went through therapy, right, through his organization as well, or?
Yes. I had chronic back pain 9 years ago. And I then came across Dr. Sarno's book, and I had what you'd call a book cure from chronic back pain. But what I had a symptom impairity was insomnia. Mm. And that one lingered. And I realized when I looked back on my life that I'm a TMS personality, and I've had all kinds of TMS stuff in the past. And I needed to do the work. It's not going to be a book cure for everything else. So I found TMS Wiki. Back then, there were not that many channels. So TMS Wiki was like the place to go. And I just sent him a message telling him about my journey. And he referred me to Christy Whippy. Which she is amazing. She became my pain therapist and helped me enormously. And this is how I came in contact with Pain Psychology Center. And some years later, when they offered pain reprocessing therapy as a practitioner training, I did that virtually. And so this kind of connected me to them and to PRT. And to SERP after that as well.
That's awesome. I know, like for me, I started, you know, now that I'm reflecting back, I was probably 8 years old or so. And I struggled a lot with migraines. That's my core symptom. And of course, you know, when you talk about the TMS personality, I am to the T. And for those of you who don't know, TMS personality is usually like your overachiever. Everything's got to be perfect. They're the people pleasing. There's a list of, I don't know, probably 15 different things that fit into it. But essentially, if you get stressed by other people's behavior or being out of control, you're probably within the TMS personality range. And I was always trying to, because I grew up in an alcoholic household, I wanted to be, I didn't want to bother my parents. I wanted to make sure that everything I was doing, you know, trying to get good grades, but not really liking school, like everything was always counterintuitive. It's like, I hated school, but I had to get good grades so that they wouldn't harass me. You know, I went to college, but I really didn't want to go to college, you know, just, it was a constant, you know, almost black and white type of argument. And so for a long time, my belief was very black and white about pain, was that the reason why I didn't even relate to 5-year-old Dana having headaches or 8-year-old Dana having headaches. I just went from, I was in a car accident that was very emotional and scary. And so then that neck pain is what caused my head pain. And so there, that was a very strong belief, to the point where, you know, I spent thousands of dollars going to all these people because I knew that the one thing that you were going to do to, you know, straighten my neck or, you know, massage my neck or that magic pill was going to be the reason. And it took pretty much, I guess, you know, I'd equate it to addiction, my hitting my bottom, where I was finally able to kind of receive Sarno's work. And did you have that, like, what happened 9 years ago that brought you to that point where you finally, like, because his book's been around since, you know, the 80s. So, like, why did it take you so long to find it, I guess? Or how did you find it?
I guess I had been kind of on that path, kind of moving towards it, but missing that final piece. I was, like, on this, let's say, a spiritual journey to myself, kind of reflecting a lot, kind of doing a lot of forgiving and journal speaking without knowing what it is. But I did not have a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started having back pain, and you know, in Germany, you go to a doctor and they usually give you the bulge disc or some kind of disc degeneration diagnosis. I did that, and I went to two different doctors, and they gave me two different opinions. Nobody gave me any hope. It was as if, you know, you're living with it now. And then I had the third appointment with a back surgery clinic. Planned, but I had to wait for maybe 2 months for it. And during that time, it's really serendipity. Somebody had mentioned Dr. Sarno's book on some podcast, or was it a conference? I don't know. But I had ordered the book, and it was on my shelf, and I had not read it. So while I was waiting for that appointment, the third one, I found the book on my shelf, and I read it, and I read it in 2 days, because I just couldn't put it away, and I was nodding on every page, and I was just recognizing myself on every page. And and then I went to the appointment. I didn't cancel it, because now I was curious what they're going to say. So I went there, and he's like checking my images and my back, and it's like, so I have good news and I have bad news. And I was like, okay, laid out there, I'm ready. The good news is I don't think it's a bulge disc. It's more like as if the muscles are a little bit too tense. And I'm like, of course, TMS, Dr. Sarno, the muscles are tense. And the bad news is I wouldn't know what to, like, do the surgery on. So I know this is a dissatisfying reply to you, and you probably don't know how to react to this, but I don't really know what we could operate or what we could do the surgery about. And I'm like, okay, thank you, bye. I tried to tell him, like, well, that is good news that you don't think I need a surgery. But he was like, yeah, but probably it's dissatisfying for you to hear this. And I'm like, no, it's wonderful to hear this. So I'm really, thank God that I had read Dr. Sarno by then and could really do something about this reply. I just went back home. I read all his other books, and my back pain was gone, like, within a week. I started exercising again, because exercising I had put off for that time. And and then I got my insomnia. And I knew we are not done yet with this topic. So this is the This was kind of but I knew it was the final piece. I knew this is where I had to land. And this is now the beginning of the real work for me. And I was just so full of hopefulness for my future, and I've never looked back.
So you were talking about journaling. And for those of you who don't know, journal speak is a term that's coined by Nicole Sachs, who's also kind of like, I guess, upper echelon of the TMS world. Now, I know when I journaled, because somebody told me to journal, I think, when I was a teenager, I think, or maybe just girls do that kind of thing. But I found that I always lied. Because I always thought that if somebody found the journal, then they'd think either I was a crazy person or, you know, they'd make fun of me. And so even when I first started journaling, I was lying. Like, you know, I'd say, oh, this was a very frustrating situation, but it will be okay. And then instead of saying like, wow, I'm super pissed off. So you said you were already doing that. So how did you know, like, were you not afraid that people would read your journal, or did you keep it? Did you burn it? What were you doing?
Well, at the time when I didn't have a name for journal speak, I basically journaled, you know, in your journal, and I kept it. And I've actually read it back and quite enjoyed it because I was like, oh, you are very insightful. So you can keep the stuff as well. You know, of course I trust my household, and I've hidden it a little bit, but it's okay. Nobody will read it. But now when I do journal speak, I rip it and throw it out. It's an exercise. I don't need to keep it. It's something that I can, you know, write as an exercise every day and come to different conclusions or come to different insights. I don't need to keep it. But back then, we're talking, I was 35, so there was no reason to lie anymore.
Right.
I was kind of past that. But I journaled probably like with some breaks all my life. And an interesting thing is when I became aware of TMS and neuroplasticity and TMS personality, I read my old journals I started when I was 10, and I wrote my journals until I was 21, and then there was a long break. But that was so interesting because I could just see this TMS personality forming, and I was like, oh girl, you had your TMS phase there, oh that knee ache, oh that back ache. I knew exactly, or anxiety or whatever I had as a teenager. So that was interesting because it kind of helped me connect with my inner child, inner Grete, the 10-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 10-year-old, the 15-year-old, the 19-year-old. So, yeah.
What a wonderful
empathy. Yeah.
What a wonderful experience, though, because, you know, I wasn't journaling back then. So there's a lot of reflection, right? Is that you kind of think and then you have a memory and then you go back, you're like, oh, I wonder how I was when I was 10 or what it was like. Mm-hmm. And you actually have evidence of seeing, you know, I guess a little bit is desperation, right? Of that I have something wrong with me and I don't know why, you know, and your childlike view of situations of how your family members reacted or what was going on in your world. Like you actually have a written, you know, written evidence of what you were thinking. So that's extraordinary because I believe it allows you to have an empathy at such a deep level. And I don't know if the rest of us do have that because, you know, you're clearly a writer, right? Is that...
Yeah, journal writer. I am a writer because I used to do pen paling. So I'm used to writing long letters, and journaling was kind of as if, you know, you're writing a letter to yourself, basically. Yeah. So in that sense, yeah, I'm a writer.
I think that's amazing. It's and it probably helps with the healing because of the fact that you have that reflective ability and you can do your inner child work and kind of help her along. And so, all right. So 9 years later, and now you have mostly no symptoms, right? I mean, obviously we have pain because we're humans and we're supposed to have pain, mm-hmm. right? But no more chronic conditions.
Nope.
And you decide you're going to help the world. And so what, I mean, you did the PPD course, right? And mm-hmm. So now you're out there. So who are your, like, what kind of clients are you getting, or how are you, how's your work going, or where are you progressing?
Yeah, I did my German certification 2 years ago so that I'm allowed to, let's say, treat sick people. For me, they are not sick, they're just stuck, but those are the rules. So I did the certification and I did, we don't have a training for pain reprocessing therapy or any neuroplasticity stuff. So I did it all in English with SERPA as well, now on the second level. And trying to, whoever is open to it, because, I'm not the therapist where people who have back pain and never heard of TMS or never heard of neuroplasticity come to voluntarily. So they need to have some kind of belief, some kind of open-mindedness about this perspective, change in the perspective. So it's mostly been persons who either have read or watched or listened to something in English but would like to do it in German, or who've recently a referral, which is nice, from a pain clinic. Somebody who was introduced to that work in a pain clinic and wanted to explore some more. But it's mostly people who are curious about this path on their own. So there is no cooperation with doctors in that sense that they would send somebody to me. The persons will have to find me on their own.
I was just, because you were talking about pain clinics, and I know we have some in this country, but they're not as common as you would think. And I know that in Europe, it seems to be more of a common thing. I know that when I was considering getting off some of the drugs, like a lot of the studies that I read were from pain clinics, especially in England, where they talked about essentially how to titrate somebody off of a lot of the drugs, because a lot of drugs that were given through chronic pain are so addictive and are probably very damaging. I know I had some liver value issues and with a lot of the migraine pills that needed to be cured. So is that something that's common for like around there, just getting referrals from those pain clinics?
Well, these pain clinics have all their departments themselves usually. And this particular pain clinic actually also offers pain reprocessing therapy. But they offer also other kinds of psychotherapy any kind of therapy, physiotherapy, medical therapy, everything. So they kind of integrate everything. So they do everything in the house. So if there's somebody who doesn't get like a therapy place in their clinic, they might want to, explore it on their own. And they might end up with me, so to say, but not like there is no referral as such. Unfortunately.
Well, it would be lovely to do that. See, yeah. That's something you could do. You could be the hub of pain reprocessing therapy for Germany.
Yeah, but the thing is, I would need to, for that, I need to be working with doctors who would be open to it and who would also know how to talk to the patient if they think that it's not a medical problem in that sense, right. Structural problem in that sense, but they could be helped by me, for instance. But if the doctor tells the patient in a kind of a, too direct, too straightforward way. I don't know that, you know, it's a mental health issue, then the patient might not receive this diagnosis or this suggestion very well, and they might not want to come to me. But if the doctor knows how to kind of communicate this option,
I think that's definitely the biggest piece. And I know here it's, you know, being in California, I think there's a belief that we're very crunchy netty and that there's a lot of understanding of this. But, you know, the state is a state. So, you know, you have people that kind of fall into the category of where they hear this and they go, oh, that makes so much sense. And then I would say a majority of people still are like, no, I'm still going to believe them because they're wearing the white coat or the badge. I had an interesting interaction with my gynecologist because, you know, we were talking about treatments for me because I'm hitting that certain age. And part of the discussion was, well, you know, we couldn't really put you on the pill because you have migraines. And I said, well, that's not really true. And so she's like, well, you know, why not? And I said, well, it's really, you know, and I had to go in and explain like where I believe the migraines came from and that it really had nothing to do with the medications. And that, you know, that's just not an option for me anymore. Like, I'm not going to have migraines anymore. And she started to kind of get it. And then it was interesting because then she turned around and shared that she gets this numbness down her arm. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, and she's like, yeah, and it hurts really bad. And, you know, and then sometimes it spreads to the other arm. And she's kind of going in there and it's like, you know, and I kind of like just peeked a little bit under the covers, meaning like asking some personal questions and seeing if she was willing to answer. And she kind of glided over some stuff because, you know, she's a doctor. She doesn't need to tell me anything, but she was totally a TMS personality. And she said that like, when I go home and I just realized like, I guess I'm too much or too stressed out. So then she talks to her husband and does a bunch of stuff. And then all of a sudden the pain miraculously goes away. And she just waits until it comes in. So I was like, wow, that's really cool. You know, like, oh, would you think about, you know, possibly reading this book or
listening to my podcast?
Yes, or something, you know, just try to get it in there. And she just, you know, she was polite. But I think part of it was she probably thought I was freaking crazy. And, you know, the other part of it was just that she's still a medical doctor. And I think for them, you know, there's that piece, right? Like, which side of the road do I need to fall under? Or fall onto, because I don't want to be seen as a crackpot, right? And that would be unfortunate, right, for her or anybody, is to, you know, you go through all this trouble to become a medical doctor and then you have people not believe you as a result of the behaviors. So it's just, I don't know, it was pretty funny. And I was, it kind of gave me a little hope because I think she did hear me. Mm-hmm. And you know, but we'll see. I mean, I don't go to the doctor anymore. And that's one of the things, like now I go when I know that I have an infection and I need a little help to get over the hump or whatever it is. But for the most part, like, I just don't go like I did. And, you know, doing this work has probably saved me a lot of money. And I remember the first time I was like, oh, I don't know if I can afford the book. Because I didn't have a lot of money. And I was like, I don't have a lot of spare money. And I was like, well, you know, I think I can afford the $20 for the book. And then I bought Sarno's, the Mind Body Healing prescription. And that was the one I read. And then I started getting the other ones from the library and doing whatever, because that one was not in the library. So what is the future for you? Like, where are you heading? What are, you know, like, You've done this. You said you're on the level 2 training now with SERPA. So you're going to really increase your knowledge and you're going to get yourself out there. So what's next?
I have a very clear vision, let's say, like this. I have my, let's say, my dream is to work with young athletes or athletes in general, but especially young athletes. Because I feel like in sports, we are talking so much about mental training, but I'm not sure if talking about pain and why pain, chronic pain persists, is part of that conversation. I don't think that it is. But I would like to explore how much young athletes are explained or given the information about why pain persists, so why pain, why the brain is creating the brain, pain in the first place. I have experience from my own life. I think I wrote to you when I was 15, I had 2 knee surgeries because I was very avid athlete. I did light athletics 6-7 times a week. I danced in a dance group additionally. And so I was on the road all the time doing something, being very active. My mom's a physical education teacher, so there was no other choice. And I loved it. I loved the grind. I loved being with my team, with my teammates. I hated it at the same time, but I loved it. And I didn't end up becoming a professional athlete. I think I lacked talent for that, but I made up in ambition and in determination for sure. And when I had this, the first injury on my knee, and I had to go in for surgery, for a minor surgery. It was nothing to, it was really a minor surgery. You were supposed to get out of the hospital the next day. But the doctor, the medical doctor, was a respected medical, what do you call it, like somebody who does a lot of surgeries on athletes. So his words weighed a lot. And he basically told me, I asked him, when can I train again? It's like, yeah, you have to, you know, a couple of months, you'll have to take it easy. It's like, can I run hurdles again? Because I was a hurdle runner. It's like, yeah, well, we have to see, can I do squats again? And he said, well, you don't need squats in your life, so you don't need to do squats. And that stuck with me for like 10 years. And I still did my training. I started training again. I switched my legs, going over hurdles because, you know, I was kind of taking care of my bad knee because now I had a bad knee at 15, and switched to long hurdles even because then it's not so quick. And it hurts. It's like every training, it hurts. It hurt more, it hurt less, but it was always there. I was kind of, you know, wearing my brace. And when I forgot it, then it would hurt more. I was taping it and just a lot of like vigilant scanning. And then I, like at one point, life went on and I stopped with the light athletics trainings, but I was still very active, still, you know, exercising a lot, and it was still hurting. I got backache at 19. And so these words from him, like, don't trust your knee anymore. You have a bad knee. You should not say something like this to a 15-year-old.
No, you should have some, there's some kind of responsibility. I mean, in my other life, I'm also a teacher. And sometimes I'll ask my students, like, you know, when did you become discouraged with education? And a long time ago, it was like, you know, 7th or 8th grade, which is difficult, right? You know, because you're 12, 13 years old and there's so many things going on. So, nothing feels, right? Nothing feels okay when you're in middle school here. But now it's back to, like, literally these kids are 7 years old or 8 years old. And they're saying, well, my teacher told me I would never amount to anything. And I wonder, like, you know, do you have that thought? Like, as a professional, are you reflective and going, wow, if I say this, there's a good chance I'm going to make this true for this person. And, you know, I think there's one thing to be said, like, okay, well, scientifically, you know, maybe that's true. Maybe maybe the damage was so extensive that that's not, you know, going to be a possibility for them. On the other end, words have power. And we know that for what goes on in our head. And, you know, by saying something like that, that really is very discouraging. And there are some people that are going to listen and never do anything ever again. And that's sad to me that, there's not a recognition. I mean, obviously he's not going to come back and try to find you and be like, it was so wrong. I should have never said those things to you, but no. Maybe not say them in the first place. Like say, I don't know. We'll have to see like, you know, how you do during your physical therapy and your pain should be gone by this, you know, or whatever it is, or there should be no pain because we repaired everything.
Yeah, and I told you that I read my diaries from when I was a teenager, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, oh, that's the reason why your pain was persisting. That's why you got your pain when you did. It's all over the pages, but I did not know, right?
Right.
And then, like you said, you know, a 15-year-old has 1,000 different feelings every day and just moving from one to the other within seconds. Just so much going on, but there's nothing is organized, you know. So
right.
Everything for your brain, for a 15-year-old brain, is like tiger, wants to eat me, wants to attack me. And
right.
So this is something that I really, really hope that I get to do in the future. Work with adult athletes, because it doesn't even matter what age they are, they still get mysterious injuries, not even injuries, pains. That's, you know, just before some major competitions, all of a sudden they get knee ache. Like, why? Let's talk about it. Why?
Because I'm terrified.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's what happened to me is, you know, I got this knee thing and it absolutely floored me. It freaked me out.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a knee thing before it. And, you know, the fact that it popped up before a major event was scary for me. And, you know, I blamed everybody else for the reason, oh, too much training, this and that and whatever. And of course, as soon as everything was done, the pain was gone. So, so
like internal conflicts, conflicting feelings, conflicting thoughts, of course, suppressed feelings or repressed feelings, but the conflict, like even as a teenager, I love it. I want to, you know, be the best. But am I good enough? Or I don't actually, the more I would rather spend time with my friends than go and spend another 2 hours on track and, you know, miss out on something. And as an adult as well, you know, when you're an adult athlete, like when I'm going to stop or when I'm going to be good enough to win a medal or to win something or to, you know, I train so much, but why can't I like put it into practice what I train for every
right.
day? So, or just private life, you know, conflict, the internal conflicts in private life. Nobody talks about them. You have to be like mentally strong on the track or on the field and blend out everything that is going on in your personal life. But, you know, maybe you had a fight with somebody or you were upset with somebody. It plays into your chronic pain.
Yeah, those things definitely play a part. And I feel, you know, I think we all have stressors. And I think the number one stressor, especially with athletes, is that comparison piece because of the fact that we are always competing. So, you know, aside from, and as a female, you're like, oh, look at her. She looks more muscular or she looks faster than me or, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't know if guys do that as well. I'm sure they do. To a certain extent, but there's always a comparison. And then if you don't make the comparison, then there's usually a score sheet that makes the comparison for you. Say, look, you were 0.3 seconds too slow, or, you know, you tripped over that hurdle or, you know, whatever the thing may go. And I think that, especially when you're going into the professional athlete side of things, you have a situation where then, you know, who you are on the field or on the track or in your arena doesn't always go away when you go outside. And that's the balance that I don't know if anybody's figured out, like, you know, how you balance your relationships, how you balance possible work or things that you have to do outside of your athletic feat. And of course, that creates strain and you know, then you add in just normal things like bills and money and children and whatever. And then there's all kinds of pressures from all different directions. So it's not a huge surprise that this is kind of happening. Yeah. So you're going to work with young athletes, and then you're going to cure everybody, and then it's going to bleed over from Germany out into the world, and that everybody's going to stop suffering from chronic pain.
Manifesting that, yes.
Yes, we're putting that out in the world. I have people that are out doing stuff and doing things, and I love it. Anyway, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Or?
No, I'm just really excited to be talking to somebody who is an athlete, who knows athlete's mind, who knows pain, the grind, the blood, sweat, and tears, the wins, the losses. So it's been a real pleasure talking to you and become a big fan of your podcast.
Thank you very much.
I was here preparing for our talk. And I hope to reach young souls out there who are struggling with some kind of mysterious aches, and to get there to their goals, whatever it is, whether they want to do the sport or they don't want to do the sport, but as long as they are pain-free.
Good. And how do we get in touch with you if they need to?
Yes, I'm on Instagram. That's going to be difficult now. I think you should just write
it. I'll put the link in the show notes.
In German. It's Schmerz umdeuten, which basically means to reprocess pain.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciated our talk.
Thank you, Dana. Bye-bye.
Bye.